Thank you, Jacob. Our scripture reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. The words will appear on the screen. You might want to read along in your own Bible, in your own version. Check we've not changed anything. Keep it right. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. This is what we read there. They, as in Jesus and his disciples, sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Wow, what a strange little story. How do we take a story like that from the Bible and apply it into life in St. Ninian's in 2022? A story of a man demon-possessed. We don't talk about demon possession anymore, do we? A man who was afflicted, a man who was out of his mind, a man who was berserk because of not just one demon, we're told, but a legion of demons, a regiment of demons playing havoc with his life. And it would seem, as so often happens, although you'll be maybe pleased, maybe disappointed, you know, I'm not really going to talk too much about demons and demonology today, but the man had come to identify himself with the demons within him, which is why Jesus could say to the man, "What is your name?" And he says, "Legion, for we are many." His identity becomes tied up with his spiritual ailment, if you like. His life is one of destitution. His one is life of alienation. His life is one of living amongst the dead. He lives in this sort of hybrid land between the living and the dead, between goodness and evil. And we're told elsewhere in Mark's Gospel that he spent his time just sitting self-harming. Wasn't the terminology of the day, but he sat and he cut himself with rocks till he bled. Went about naked, no longer knowing any shame or humiliation or embarrassment. Totally, he'd lost his mind. People had tried to chain him up, we're told, but again and again he would supernaturally almost break the chains that bound him, and yet couldn't break the chains that bound him, if you understand what I mean. We're told that the spirit he had was an unclean spirit. And he lived in an unclean place on a number of regards. It was unclean because he was living amongst the dead. And certainly if he was a Jew, and we don't really know his background. Was he a Jewish man that had got lost, or was he a Gentile living in Gentile territory? I tend to think he was perhaps a Jew, but we cannot be sure. But either way, the Jews would have regarded people who'd had contact with the dead as being unclean. And certainly where he was living in the land of the Gentiles would have been regarded as unclean. And living amongst pigs. Well, we know what Jews feel of pigs. Unclean. And so this man, if you like, was quadruply unclean. Unclean spirit. Unclean lands, living with the dead, living with the pigs. He was four times unclean as far as the Jewish ceremonial law would have gone. Which would have meant that actually, had this man tried to seek help from the religious people of his day, had he gone and tried to seek help from the religious leader of his day, he would have been excluded four times over. Unclean. 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 Unclean, spirits, location, dead, pigs, stay away. Jesus, the one we follow, gets in a boat and crosses the lake and enters this unclean territory and draws near to this quadruply unclean man, which under Jewish law would have made him ceremoniously unclean, ironically, the Son of God, now not fit to enter the temple for 14 days, to bring release to this gentleman. What do we make of that, actually? I was speaking to a gentleman, it was really a text message, long story, a young guy got out of the prison where I work a few weeks ago. There was rumors flying around that he'd overdosed and died, so I went out of my way to try and make contact with him, and managed to do that over Facebook and ended up having a little conversation over social media. The guy had only started coming to the church the last few weeks of his sentence, but obviously really loved it for whatever reason. He kept coming back. He said it was the highlight of his week. Outside now, I was trying to ask him, I'm saying, what is the church situation like where you come from? And he says, I don't really know. He says, I suppose I could go to the Church of Scotland where my mum goes to. And I'm thinking about this young guy, and I'm thinking about him. He tells me he's not taking any hard drugs since he got out, but he does smoke weed on a daily basis. He's living with his partner, and even in his text messages to me, the chaplain, his language is pretty choice. He doesn't comprehend, actually, there's some words that are not as acceptable when you're speaking to certain people, not that I ever take offense. And I thought to myself, where could I suggest this young guy goes? And I'm still thinking and mulling that one over. You see, we're really good at churches, aren't we? And that includes us? Well, why not? We've had a fair share of it over the years, not just this church, but we looked at this a few weeks ago, didn't we? We looked at the comparison between Jesus saying, by this people will know that you are mine, by the way that you love one another, compared with whole discussions in the early church about who was acceptable and who was unacceptable. And here we have another living demonstration of that. This man could not have approached the religious people of his day for help. This man was in desperate need of release and of healing and of freedom and of salvation and of love and of grace. But the last place he could have gone would be to the religious institutions of his day. Why? Because he was unclean. They would have told him all the reasons why he ought not to have come in here. And in fact, all the ways in which the religious body, if you like, the church of the day, would have been compromising had we accepted people like that to come into their midst. They would have all sorts of deacons' debates and church meetings, and what do we do with this guy had he arrived at the door? Although probably for most of them, the answer would have been quite clear. This is a holy place, and we are a holy people, and that guy's out of his mind and unclean. End of the matter. And yet, while all these meetings and debates and discussions were taking place, Jesus, our Savior, the one who we follow, was rowing across a boat, a lake, to hit this place, to heal this man, to get back in a boat, and to leave again. This story is one of four stories that all take place close together, and in fact, and do so in the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We have Jesus crossing the lake and going through a storm on the way to get to this man, and he commands the waves to be still, demonstrating his lord over the forces of nature. And then he meets this guy who is totally consumed with evil and evil powers, and Jesus releases him, demonstrating that he's lord over the evil forces that wage war around about us. When he heads back, he's met by the woman with the issue of blood, and he heals her, demonstrating that he's the lord of healing and the lord over sickness. And then he ends up at the house of Jairus, where his daughter has just died, and he raises her to life, demonstrating he's the lord over death itself. Lord over nature. Lord over evil. Lord over sickness. Lord over death. Meanwhile, the church is still having its little debate of what to do with this man, because he's a wee bit unclean, and what do we do if we bring him into our midst? C.S. Lewis it was, wasn't it, who said that we make two equal and opposite mistakes when it comes to evil, to Satan, to the devil, to whatever you want to call him. One is that we totally disregard him and give him freedom to do what he wants willy-nilly. The other mistake we equally make is we see him under every rock and everything's the devil's fault. C.S. Lewis says we have to somehow walk this middle path. This man, of course, nowadays, he wouldn't have been seen as being demonic at all. He would have been a self-harmer. He would have had personality disorders, a psychotic illness, all these sorts of things. And I'm not saying these are not untrue. But the spiritual possibility behind it is no longer even discussed. Hear me what I'm saying. I'm not saying for one second, folks, that mental illness or personality disorders or self-harming or psychotic or anything else is caused by the devil and by demons. I'm certainly not saying that. But sometimes when we are faced with people and their problems and their situations, especially when everything else has failed, we sometimes do have to ask the question, is there something bigger and deeper going on in this situation? Notice how Jesus deals with the man. We never do find out his name. Perhaps he himself had forgotten. Nobody had called him by name, perhaps, for many months or years. He was the madman up in the tombs. The naked guy you see when you go up for a funeral or to pay your respects to the dead. The guy comes out cursing and slabbering and shouting and swearing at you as you walk past. The monster. Stay away from there. He's mad. Get the chains out. Let's bind him again. Jesus went up and dealt with them, not through his problem so much as through humanity. What is your name? What is your name? He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't say, how did you get yourself into this mess? He didn't say, well, your life's well and truly screwed up, don't you? You need me. He didn't rebuke him, didn't challenge him. He just began to deal with the guy's problems. And notice this guy, instead of being unclean and dismissed and rejected or judged or criticized or shunned or however else the people were doing it, we actually see through this story, this man was wrestling with and dealing with things that were beyond any human being to deal with, so much so that we're told he had these evil spirits, perhaps 1,000 evil spirits, because that's what a legion of a Roman army would have been in those days. And when they go out of him and they go into a herd of pigs, even the herd of pigs cannot contain and cope and control with what was in this one man. And they go berserk and dive off the hillside and all drown. That's what this guy had been dealing with. This is the things that had been going in this guy's mind and guy's hearts and this guy's spirit. This is the things that was wrestling with him. This was the things that was robbing him of life and of sanity and of identity and of everything else. This man was to be pitied, heroed, because of what he had managed to walk through in the trauma and situations of his life. Yet I say it again. He couldn't have gone to the religious people of the day because he was unclean, 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 unclean. What the heck would you do with our worship service? They would have said. It's funny, isn't it? The two opposites of the crowd and the people as well. The start of the story, it seemed they're really fearful of this man, and no wonder. They tried to chain him, they tried to control him, they tried to bind him, tried to arrest him and imprison him. Probably if it was 2022, I'd be going in to see him tomorrow because he'd be in Glenochle Prison or another prison where he could be confined and contained and out of the public's eye and no longer the public's problem. They shunned him. They were fearful of the evil, of the darkness, of the power that was within him. You can understand that. And yet, the end of the story, they're still equally afraid. Here is the man healed. Here is the man clothed. Here is the man in his rightful mind once more. You think they would celebrate. Wow, look at the miracle. This person, like the prodigal son's father, my son was dead and now he's alive again. This man from our community whose life has been torment and horrible and everything's restored to life. You think they would celebrate and say, Jesus, we need more of you. But they say the opposite. Jesus, get out of here. They were afraid again. This time not by the powers of darkness, but by the power of light, not by the power of evil, but by the power of righteousness and holiness in their midst. Guess that's where we all want to live a wee bit, isn't it? The sort of middle grounds where we believe there's light and darkness, good and bad, evil and righteousness. But we really don't want to encounter too much of either. Let's just keep in the middle roads. We can get that. The man's desperate to go with Jesus. Well, wouldn't you be too? I'll hang about with you, Lord, if you don't mind. And one of the rare occurrences, Jesus was very good at calling people, come and follow me. And here's a man who says, I'll come and follow you, Jesus. Where are we going? Let's this adventure begin. And Jesus says, no, your place is here. In this unclean environment, this unclean community of Gentiles, surrounded by the unclean animals of pigs, your place is here. Go and tell your family, your friends, your community what has been done for you. Part of the reason we're looking at this passage that's in the lections today, I'm quite sure, is because it's Trinity Sunday or the Sunday after Trinity or whatever fancy name they give it. But we're in the season of the Trinity, having had Pentecost 2 weeks ago. And they probably want us to draw attention to these last verses here where Jesus says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. And the man goes instantly and makes that connection. He goes and tells them what Jesus has done for him. There is little differentiation in his minds that the person who's healed him, Jesus Christ, is somehow working through the power and the calling of God himself. What do we do with a story like that in 2022? leaving your understanding of evils and demons aside for a moment. Can I tell you there are hundreds of legions still in our community. People whose lives are out of control. People whose lives are driven to self-harming and suicide. People whose lives are tormented. People whose lives are just lost any semblance of reality. And there are many communities like the community of the Gerasenes, no-go areas, unclean areas, areas where it's problematic and it's messy and people's lives are a bit screwed up and they work to different rules and principles than perhaps the rest of society. There are many areas and people like that today. Poor Legion could not have turned to the religious places in his day for help and for hope, but thank God today, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you first and foremost that you are the Lord of nature, the Lord of the cosmos, the Lord of the universe, the Lord who holds all things in your hands. You're the Lord of evil, who even on the cross, when the evil beasts surrounded you, where Satan came to destroy you, where war was waged against you, you entered into devil territory. You went down into hell itself and preached resurrection and grace and life and forgiveness. You are the Lord over evil, the Lord over sickness. And praise be to God, as Jackson was reminding us earlier, you're the Lord over death. Life has conquered. Father, forgive us again that our vision of you becomes so small and narrow, that it becomes about rules, who's in, who's out. Should people be loved or rejected, welcomed or shunned? Will you just tell us to be witnesses to you, the Lord of life, the Lord of goodness, the Lord of freedom, the Lord of grace, the Lord of redemption, the Lord who sets people free. I wonder, Jesus, how often even today the church is doing the thing of the church. And you're just out there in our areas of the Gerasenes in your little rowing boat seeking the lost and saving the lost. Lord, help us to be part of what you're doing. Help us to be like Legion at the end of his story, where we just want to say, Lord, we want to be with you. Where you go, we want to go. What you're doing, we want to be part of. Let your kingdom come. And may we be part of it. May you use us for your glory, for your name's sake, and for the sake of the people in our land and in our city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.